year.
I'm a scarecrow. How about you, Mark?
Little Hulk.
Speak up, boy.
Little Hulk.
What's that from?
Fucking my twisted mind.
Oh.
So, I have to share with you that Pat, you know our guy Pat?
I do.
Who we saw at Newt's. And Sue, Audie Sue. We got to skip the Audie. Also, by now, if we ever use the Audie terminology, we have to full on explain it because it just sounds
right,
just ridiculous. Anyhow, he's the guy that at a pajama party, long mm-hmm. story, a few episodes back, he asked me who he was. He thought that he would get me on Dancing in the Moonlight, who sings it. And I'm like, well, that's King Harvest. And he's like, oh. So anyway, tonight he hits me. We weren't planning on seeing each other. It was a chance happening at Newt's. Oh, that sounds beautiful, doesn't it? Anyway, while at Newt's, Pat says, are you familiar with a song called The Rain, The Park, and Other Things? And I'm like, I think I know that song, but I need a hint. And he said, The Flower Girl. And I kind of ran through my head a few times. It's from a movie. I think it's from Dumb and Dumber. And I go, I think it's the Cow Sills.
Okay, yeah.
And he goes, nope, it's like the Mo Sills. He wrote it down wrong, or he typed it in his phone.
Oh.
I'm like, dude, I got it right here. He's like, oh, yeah, it's not the Mo Sills, it's the Cow Sills. So anyway, that one was a pure, just dumbass kind of guess, but
wasn't there a documentary on the Cow Sills about that was something messed up with it?
That's a sibling band, I think, isn't it?
It is.
Well, god damn it, if we only would have incorporated that into tonight's theme, which is
let's not say in case we don't get to it.
Well, too late, sibling bands. we have a few things to talk about. At least I do. Are the Ascertainers. The Ascertainers are two wild and crazy guys from Minnesota. That's a state in America, which used to be the coolest place ever to live. I think it still is, but you hear people. You hear rumblings.
Are you talking temperature-wise?
We're not political. We're not going to talk about global warming, Mark.
No.
Although we could talk about the eclipse, but...
Coolest.
Yes. State. No, cool. Like fucking blue jeans... Beatles, America.
I thought this was America. South Park.
I'm sorry. I cracked myself up on that one. Oh, and then the South Park, was that Randy when he got like kicked out of a youth football game?
Yeah, he was always getting into fights. I thought this was America.
South Park, very underrated. If you never watched it, think of any topic.
And they covered it, yes.
They've probably covered it, and they probably covered it with a great deal zeal or whatever. Yes. They find a, surprisingly, it's from any angle, too. It's not like they're predictable in how they will approach it. But, yeah, there's some funny, hilarious South Park. They handled, like, political correctness and how they handled when a guy was faking Tourette syndrome and you know, just a whole lot of different stuff. But anyway, thought this was America. Yeah. But when you said America the coolest country, when I said blue jeans and I said the Beatles, of course the Beatles are from Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, different Beatles. But
where were we?
We are the Ascertainers. We're from Minnesota. Holy shit. Buckle up, everybody. We are Mark.
Hello, everyone.
And Jim. I am Jim. It's Mark's podcast. Mark's bouncing in his chair in an uncomfortable fashion, and it just started. I'm not sure what caused it. Tonight, we have a new addition to the team. We have Mark is filming us tonight, and that means I had to put my pants on, and...
We're practicing.
When can they come back off? Turn the camera off. I can't. I run hot. I told you that.
It's actually not on yet. I'm practicing. I haven't really figured all the ins and outs.
I think Mark's going to kill me. He's going to live stream it.
It's going to be a great episode on CSI.
Holy irony. Oh my God, I wouldn't want to solve a crime in this basement.
There's a lot of DNA. There's
been 40 or 50 people killed this guy. And they all jerked off on the wall before they did it. That seems high. And then I'll come back and then I go, about average. So anyway. So Ascertainers. We're over a year in.
We are.
Well, I think this one's going to come out as episode 56. I'm confident it will.
It will.
And we just had our Scott Studwell episode came out today. Did you see the write-up?
I did.
Even get a little tip of the hat to Joey Brown or any Minnesota. We're from Minnesota, so we grew up watching the Purple People Eaters and all other renditions of the Vikings. And there was one of my favorite. I mean, what more fucking manly name can you get as a middle linebacker? Yeah. Number 55, Scott Studwell. Holy shit! By the way, we should be able to figure out if we got our S thing figured out if we say Scott Studwell a lot. What's a more manly name?
Jeff Seaman.
Holy shit! I totally forgot. I was thinking Rick Jackhammer or something, but you gave a real name. We had a guy named Jeff Seaman as well.
He was the middle linebacker before Scott Studwell.
Oh, I don't know what to ask who was before.
It was before my time. Who was before Jeff?
Rod Stiffington. Oh, if I had more time, I could have come up with some material for that. But, yeah. Who's the middle linebacker this year? I don't even know who the middle linebacker is. After Scott Studwell, what are you going to do?
Oh, I can't remember. We traded the last guy.
Was it Kendrick Lamar? Or is that a
singer? No, Hendricks was
it's Kendrick Lamar a singer?
Yes.
Or Tyler the Creator? Or Quadriceps Contusion? It was some guy. So, here we are. Together. We went to our exclusive sponsor, Newt's, for dinner, mixed it up. And when we walked in, we usually like to sit at a certain spot. It's like the corner of the bar.
Taken every time lately.
For the last few weeks, yes, it has. But we're lucky that we do have a spot at the bar. And who happened to be there, but I think this guy rivals Charlie for our number one listener because he told me that he has listened to every single episode. Pat K. Emailer Pat and his lovely wife Sue were sitting there and we hung out with them for the entirety of our visit. I sat next to them and because we weren't at the corner, that's the beauty of having the corner. There's also a back corner, but all the pull tab people kind of always hang out.
Right.
But, are there any other corners? I don't think the other one has a corner.
No, the other one's kind of a beer
waitress stand or whatever. Yeah, well, anyway. So, yeah, because we were five wide, Chris came, was with us. Sorry, what did I say? Anyway, she seemed to be enjoying herself. I don't know. I didn't ask anything further than that. But going from left to right as you are facing the bar, so would it be... Like stage left, it would be going from right to left. So stage, you were stage right, then Chris, then me, then Sue, and then Pat. So I was in the middle, and I talked to you guys all the time, so I talked to Pat and Sue the whole time. Pat's coming on. It's not an if, it's a when. Sue will probably come on, but she doesn't want to talk. And I'm fine with that. I've heard that story before.
Yes.
We'll get her talking. Okay. No, it'll be fun. I love those guys are great. I haven't seen them forever, it's fun to see. See your friends at Newt's.
Pat has a lot of musical knowledge. He would be very good for the.
He does. He's also got really interesting perspectives in general. So yeah, it'll be fun. So we'll do that tonight. We decided that we would have a topic. This is interesting in that we are almost forced to do two tonight. Because I'm going to have to take the next 2 weeks off, and we don't want to let you guys down. We'll put out pure crap if we have to. But anyway, so the pressure is already getting to me. I'm starting to worry a little. they're starting to murmur.
I will have to say that we talked to Corey again tonight and tried to push the Ascertainer burger.
Yep.
But he weaseled his way out of it again.
Oh, holy jeez, we're going to die. That felt loud. I'm going to move my thing back here. Yeah, okay. Well, that was Mark for sure. You know my voice, Core, big Core, Mr. Core. I said, we'll meet you in the middle. You can rename this artichoke dip the Ascertainer dip. I mean, it's only a couple letters. Can you spell artichoke Ascertainer without artichoke? Holy shit. Oh, we might be onto something. No, there's no O or K. There's an A and a C. I'll work on this. I also thought about something because somebody, you laughed at something on the last episode about thrust.
Oh, yeah.
And I this might sound bad. I mean, I don't think this is something I would tell my junior high daughter, but you can't spell thrust without trust.
Wow.
It's a fact.
Why you even thought of that? Why did your mind go that way?
I don't know. I don't.
It's very wrong.
That's very, very wrong. Super wrong. I don't have any errors and omissions that I'm aware of, but I know you do, even if you don't think you do.
I don't have any. Maybe an omission. We talked about Second City Television.
Second City TV.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Right after we talked about it, Joe Flaherty died.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, he just passed.
Colin Floyd.
Yep.
How about that? Colin Floyd, one of a few different Rush-connected SCTV people, because Take Off with Geddy Lee and then Bob and Doug McKenzie, which was Rick Moranis and Dave Thomas, charted in Canada. I think it charted in the States, too. But Colin Floyd would introduce a song called Witch Hunt, which is a really kind of haunting song if you read the lyrics to Witch Hunt, which we could do. I don't think they'll come after us, but it has to do with kind of like society gone to hell, and I don't want to associate it with any political things in the current news, but there was a Joe Flaherty had a character called Count Floyd, and he was hilarious. He was like a shitty kind of he would introduce films.
Right, yeah.
Ooh, that was a scary movie, wasn't it, kids?
It was like an Elvira type.
Yeah, I guess, except for the giant rack. And I was young. I got boners with everything, but I got, for both of them, it worked.
Congrats.
But anyhow, he was also in Stripes, I believe. I think he was one of the prison guards in Stripes.
I'll have to think about it. You're probably right.
Take it to the bank. Because I'm just hearing about this, and he wasn't that old, was he?
Don't recall.
All right, well, I guess we're old now, so one of us is going to die one day. Should we do a bet, like a pool?
No.
A Deadpool just with two people? How would that work?
Especially when you try to kill the other one so you win.
Oh, Mark, I would never do that. All right.
I'm on to you, man.
Jim's crossing out on his notebook something, and he's really getting it good. He wants to make very sure no one can see his one-line plan. His one-word plan rhymes with tang. Bang. So, what else we got?
Frankie Valli was a bassist, not a drummer.
In the video for December 1963 that I watched, that I will play for you later, he was singing and drumming.
On his page,
he calls himself a bass player.
Yeah, well, a singer / bassist.
Going back to
he's an entertainer.
A musician is a musician.
Yeah,
it's rare that you'll find a guy who's getting paid to play guitar that's like, oh, what are these sticks for? I couldn't possibly loan. I mean, they pretty much, except for keyboards, because that's for girls. But anyway, and Geddy Lee.
I have part of that in my notes. Talk about a keyboardist.
Well, why don't we talk about your error first?
What error?
Who sang Convoy?
C.W. McCall.
Huh. All of a sudden, you said C.J. McCall.
Did I say C.J.?
Yeah, you know, my bad. I apologize for that. You said C.J. McCall, and I'm like, sounded right, but...
You agreed.
I guess.
So I went
Said C.W. McCall.
Oh,
And then in the write-up, I didn't call you out, because I'm not a dick.
You just called me out now. It hurt my feelings.
No, that's now.
Son of a bitch.
That was then. This is now. Who wrote it? Oh, S.J. Hinton. Kidding. Oh, my God. All the Outsiders geeks. It's S.E. Hinton.
Did you read That Was Then, This Is Now, or just The Outsider?
No, just The Outsider. My head hurt so bad from reading all of The Outsiders. I think it's the only book I've ever read cover to cover.
Really?
I mean, I've started a lot of books. I've read a lot of I've jumped around in a lot of books. I don't think I've read a whole book except for The Outsiders. And for all that don't know, it's about a 2-hour read. It's not a thick book. No pictures, at least.
The Greasers and the Socias.
It was written by like a 13-year-old girl, a 15-year-old girl. That was Socias. Socias and the Greases.
Yeah, so that was then. This is now is actually a bit of a deeper story, too.
Does it involve any of the same players or no?
No.
Okay. But you could argue that the cast for The Outsiders, the movie, is one of the most recognizable in our lifetime anyway. It was loaded. But only one girl. Like in the whole movie, there were just a couple, three girls. A lot of fellas. Maybe that's why I liked it so much. A lot of guys, a lot of wrestling around.
A lot of white t-shirts, tight.
In the rain. Oh, God, I got it. Hang on. Cut. So we got a shout out from our friends from Think Drink Disney. They just did a podcast titled, I think it's Aladdin, but it's
a live action.
Action one. What does that even mean? I'm not a...
It's with Will Smith. It's not a animated one. It's actually people.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
So that's called live action?
Yeah.
So like The Outsiders was live action.
It was.
Is this live action?
No, we're pretty cartoonish.
Yeah, true. Caricature-ish, as it were. Anyway, that was very nice of them to mention The Ascertainers. I will be attending. Mark might be able to stop by. They're doing a live, well, by the time you hear this, it'll be
over.
In 2 days from right now, they are doing a live broadcast from Rascals in Apple Valley, another great Apple Valley, Minnesota eatery. Not currently a sponsor.
Well, not with that. It's almost like you were retching when you said.
Oh, my burp? I was trying to silence my burp. I guess I'll just have to use this next time.
Don't forget to go number 2.
No, I knew. Uh-oh, somebody left it on. Let's see if it still works.
Uh-oh.
Spooky.
Number 2 was spooky tonight. I think it's random.
Huh. Monster. Ghost. Alien. Megaphone. Robot.
So anyway, did I sound like a...
Robot.
That's very good, Jimmy. You sound just like a robot.
Don't I? You want me to sound like a spooky?
Yeah.
Spooky.
Huh? How about that?
Actually, you sound spooky all the time.
What band sang a song called Spooky?
I can't think of it now.
Atlanta? Rhythm Section. From?
Memphis.
You got me on that one in an earlier podcast. You go, Atlanta Rhythm Section. I go, Atlanta Rhythm Section. You go, where are they from? And I'm like, well, fuck, I think it was. What if they weren't? What if it was just a clever thing? Anyway, what are we going to talk about? I'm tired of talking.
Well,
I gotta delegate more to you.
Again,
I'm eating peanuts. I got nuts in my mouth.
I want to add to the Think Drink Disney. They did a wonderful shout out on their last episode, and it was very nice. They're two wonderful people that we had on earlier, and they were a nice thing for them to do.
So after you listen to this podcast, and then go to Newt's and get the Ascertainer Burger or the Ascertainer Dip, and tell them. The Think Drink sent you. Oh, that'll fuck them up pretty good. Go and listen to Think Drink Disney. They have over 40 episodes. Just find a movie that you are fond of and listen in, and you will learn a ton, and you'll be entertained while you learn. So, yeah, good on them, and we'll have them on again.
Yeah, they're like us. You learn a lot on our podcast, and you learn a lot on theirs.
Totes. All right. Well, buddy.
CJ McCall.
We talked about Spinal Tap last episode.
Nigel, you were trying to think of his...
I got them all. Do you know it?
I don't.
The main character, I think you would have to say, is David St. Hubbins, who was played by Michael McKean, I think is his name. And then is it Christopher Guest? Nigel Tufnell. This one goes to 11. Look at this. You fold it and it breaks. It's not going to work. He was trying to fold a little piece of bread. The bass player, Derek Smalls. Played by Harry Shearer. I think that's his name.
It is.
I believe the manager's character's name was Ian Faith. Now, there were some serious, like, recognizable stars in this. Well, let's talk about the rest of the band, though. There was a guy named Mick Shrimpton was a character. He was a drummer. I think he was the one that died in the bizarre gardening accident, which is such a great way. The other one's self-spontaneously combusted. But let's talk about some of the like, stars, like people like, what? They were... Ed Begley Jr. played John Stumpy Pepys. And I think he was one that blew up. Because they showed a picture of him, and he goes, oh, big, tall, geeky guy. And I think they showed him for like 3 seconds. And he had the thick glasses on. And
he was a drummer, Ed Begley Jr. Wow.
Yes. Well, he was not that.
Well, I mean...
They went through a few drummers, as you...
Right, but that his character that blew up was supposed to be...
I could come back for an error and omission on that, but I'm pretty damn confident. But Marty DeBurgi was the what do you call it? The guy who runs the documentary, the documentarian, the narrator. Yeah. That was Rob Reiner.
Oh, yeah, I knew that.
Seems like a great guy. Probably should hang out with him. Anyway, then there Bobby Fleckman, Fran Drescher. I forget Paul Schaefer's character's name, but he is one of the more memorable things. Where he was like the owner of the record store they were doing a promotion in, and nobody showed up. And he has a great line. He goes, come here, kick my ass as a man. I messed up, kick my ass. So anyway, Paul, I should have got his character name. Then there were two mimes in the movie. You recognize both of them. I think we know that Billy Crystal was one, because I think he actually started talking, you know, after they fucked up or something like that. But the other one was Dana Carvey.
Oh. You know, I haven't seen the movie in decades.
That won't do.
I'll have to look at it again, watch it again.
That's all I got. That's all I got on Spinal Tap, but Nigel Tufnel is what prompted that, who I thought was very funny. I think he was the funniest guy in the whole doggone movie.
Yeah, impressive.
I see you have a whole page of notes there, Mark. Let's go ahead and don't be shy.
Why don't we do the radio game?
I think that's a capital idea.
Thank you.
We're 25 minutes into a 43-minute podcast. We'll probably get into the topic here, too, pretty soon.
Well, we've burned.
We can save some.
Yeah, I'm going to save my best ones for the next one.
When I'm not on? Okay, smart.
You did that before. Oh, I saved my best stuff for the next one.
When I didn't want to burn them up because I knew Chris would say something like, what's your favorite 1976 band? And she would say, the $2 bill. So... I think that was a smart
move. Which was a very interesting fact.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Admit it, you still have a $2 bill in your wallet.
I have a buddy, Audie Todd. Hold on. Todd K, who I do my, I see him a couple, three times a year. Every time we go play cards, he works at a bank, and every branch of that bank, he'll go to it and say, I need all your $2 bills. And he shows up with, like an inch tall stack of $2 bills, and he puts them into the poker pot. So we all walk home with some fucking $2 bills.
And when you go to cash them, do people look at you like...
I usually lose them back that same night, but that's a funny conversation you bring up, that some people are worried about bills going out of style, like they're going to be considered counterfeit. And I've never had that issue.
Well, a younger person probably never heard of a $2 bill or seen one. And you go into convenience store and say, well, here's $2 bill. And they look at you like, this can't be real.
I go into the convenience store and I go, give me some of them grape cherry wraps, swishers. I like how they've just gone up. Used to be, if you were going to roll a blunt, or so I've heard, you would have to buy a cigar and then unwrap it and then wrap it around your marijuana cigarette. And now they're just, Swisher Sweets is like, well, shit, we'll just charge them the same amount and just sell them the outside.
There you go.
We'll flavor it. We'll give it a Kool-Aid flavor. Because they are. It's grape or it's cherry or it's some whatever. And also in the news on that topic, they're trying to ban menthol cigarettes.
Yes.
Well, that seems kind of, that's the worst problem going on now is the, cigarettes are fine, but not those menthol ones. That's
because bullshit. They say it targets a certain demographic.
Okay.
Because the...
Kids who want to look cool, they're going to look cool smoking non-menthols then, too.
The tar and nicotine are the same with menthol. But if you watch the old 1950 commercials, oh, you got a cold, try a menthol cigarette. Clears it right up.
Freshens your breath while you smoke. It's fantastic. Anyhow, radio game, I have four bands picked out. Do you?
I have six.
I have six, too. I'm going to do four. I'm going to do my first two.
No, I have eight. Well, I have eight also.
I'm going to go with Steely Dan and Def Leppard.
Okay. I'm going to go with my lesser knowns, and these are all connected to our theme of the podcast tonight, but I won't say what it is. Head East and the Kinks.
Really? I didn't know about Head East. Okay. I'm going to go with Bryan Adams and Cinderella. I don't know why.
I'm coming home.
I didn't even know if you won't even know. I'm coming home. That's fucking Motley Crue, isn't it?
No.
Robot.
CCR and the Allman Brothers.
All right.
Band.
Well, are you doing it?
Oh, I keep forgetting.
You were the one who brought it up. You want me to do it?
No, I'll do it.
Cinderella comes on, I'll do it for the first time in a few weeks and go, wow, look at that. It's Cinderella. And turn it off.
If I sang Gypsy Rose, would that be better?
By the way, yes. Oh, if fucking that was on the radio, that'd be better. By the way, our guy, Ken, do you remember we asked him for four bands? He has gotten, I can only remember three of them, and all three have been, who is it? Journey. Ha! Mark just gave me this look, and I'm like, oh, it's either Cinderella or Journey. And you sure it's not ways. Cinderella? Separate ways, if he ever hurts you.
Do they just play it every 3 hours?
Yes. That's how you know your laundry's done. Oh, Separate Ways is out again. I better get that pot pie out. I think you would have to put, you know, sometimes you put one thing in the oven, it's like, oh, if you're doing two, add 5 minutes. So the Journey plays, you heat the oven when Separate Ways goes on. So we should do this right now. We should test it. And then if you put like 14 pot pies in, by the time you hear Separate Ways again, all 14 will be done.
Wow.
The more you know. The Ascertainers are here for you. We're more of a public service podcast. All right. You want to go get us into the topic, Mark? You've given this a great thought. I've given it little thought. I had a kind of a busy day. I usually spend about 10 minutes on the day of recording, researching
busy
our shit.
Day. We kind of covered this on a Tuesday, so you had several days to research.
It was Wednesday.
Was it? Oh, sorry.
I got phone records. Still, I had many hours to... Well, what do you want to talk about?
Jim came up with a topic of bands that had siblings in them.
Yes.
That's what all my picks were. And my first one, I'll do Head East.
I was not aware there was brothers. There's all men in that band, right?
Yes. Roger Boyd and Larry Boyd.
How about that? What did they do? I only know nobody in Head East, so I don't know what they do.
Roger was the singer, and Larry was the bassist.
Roger Boyd was a singer for Head East?
Yeah.
My first concert I went to was Head East at the Rochester Civic Center.
Did they play Never Been Any Reason, like four times?
No. They cut it short because the bass player had a little trouble staying awake on stage. So that must have been Larry Boyd.
He didn't stay in.
I would have seen them in 19, I think it was 80. Were you in it then?
I believe so, yeah.
I wonder if he left the band because he...
Because you booed him.
Fell asleep a lot on stage. He fell asleep 100% of the times I've seen him. That seems like a high number to me. Do you know, how many Heady songs do you know? What's your favorite?
Never Been Any Reason, and then they did the cover, the other song, right?
I think it's the other way around. Since you've been gone, I think they did, and then Rainbow did it.
No, it was someone before Head East did it.
Oh, so
it was a cover, yeah.
Wowza. It's like A Star is Born.
Yeah.
You know how many times that movie's been made?
Four.
I think you're right. By Cracky?
I guess I should have said yes.
I'm glad you didn't do the Roman numeral. Oh, shit, God. Anyway.
Should I do this?
What am I looking at over there?
I'm doing that. The glasses up
I
and
did,
down.
I did on the a couple episodes ago. I did some homages to Matt Foley, the motivational speaker, where I don't wear glasses. I'm not that cool. Although I have to wear contacts. Long story. Email us at theascertainers@gmail.com and I'll tell you all about my medical conditions. Anyway. I think he's asking David Spade, who's sitting on the couch with Christina Applegate, who are the kids who are being lectured by Matt Foley, the motivational speaker.
Who lives
and he's like,
in
what
a
do
van
you...
down by the river.
He goes, what do you want to do? He goes, I kind of want to be a writer. And he goes, oh. And then he does the thing where he grabs the frame. It was with his right hand. He pinches the glasses frame. like the hole with the lens, not just the side part, and he thrusts it up, down, up to his forehead, down to his eyes about five times. He goes, "Oh, I'm sorry. Is that Bill Shakespeare over there?" And Mark just did that. So it, I know this makes really good radio to bring this up. You want to hear one of my sibling bands?
Sure.
I'm not sure if anyone's ever heard of them. The Jackson 5.
I knew you were going to bring those.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
they are not on my list because I knew you would cover it.
All I can tell you is that their dad seemed like a pretty cool guy. I think it was Daniel Tosh that said, "You want a dad that inflicts the kind of discipline where you'll get a thriller, but not so much where your kid is in court for the things that he did." So, anyhow.
I will latch on to that.
Ooh, I'm not sure I like that term, but...
The Beach Boys, because their dad was a douche also.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
How many Wilsons were in the Beach Boys?
Three.
Out of five?
Out of five band members,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, six, I think, total.
Was it one a drummer...
Dennis was the drummer.
And then who's the one that's famous? What?
Brian.
Brian Wilson?
Yeah.
Played bass.
Yep.
And one played guitar, I think. So that left another guitar and a singer who just sang. And that guy's name was like Al something.
Jardine.
Yeah.
Carl Wilson was the other one, the guitar player.
Well, it's four Wilsons then.
No, it's Brian, Carl, and Dennis.
So a different guy played drums then.
Dennis, drums, Carl, guitar. Brian was the songwriter and piano player.
And bass player.
Bass player, yeah.
Very good. And their dad was a ball buster, you say?
He was. That they kind of broke away from him because he was trying to drive their music. And
I wonder if that's why my kids moved on.
And we brought up on that.
I was a huge Beach Boys fan.
Earlier, I write the songs.
Barry Manilow.
But who wrote it?
Brian Wilson.
Brian Johnston, that was in the Beach Boys.
From AC/DC?
No, Beach Boys.
Hold on, you're telling me the Captain and Tennille sang I Wrote the Songs?
They did sing it, yes.
They did?
But they did not write it.
Captain and Tennille.
They did a cover of it, but...
You fucking with me right now?
I am not.
I was just making that up.
No, Captain and Tennille did a version of I Write the Songs.
They also did a version of Muskrat Love.
I don't know why that comes into it, but that's impressive that you know that.
She had the face that only a muskrat would love. I think that's how that came about. I can't wait for the second episode of this.
No, I thought that was a great fact that because we brought it up that we made fun of.
Are we filming?
Barry
Manilow. I want to make sure that the camera picks up that I have my thumb at the base of my chin and my index finger is. I am deep, deep in thought. Can I borrow your glasses to look even more in thought? Your glasses to go, hey, that fucking Casey Kasem?
You do a fine rendition without any sort of prop.
You could tell those are glasses. It's like Jim's arm is spazzing out. I have another one. Is it your turn?
No, it's your turn.
I'm not sure if I'm going to pronounce it right. Van Halen. Brothers Eddie and Alex Van Halen, Dutch parents, lived in I think Southern California. And a fun little fact, it was Eddie's drum set and Alex had the guitar, and they
switched,
liked each other's instruments. So how about that? The more I hear about Eddie Van Halen, I mean, you can't argue he is a
phenomenal,
you know, a virtuoso, blah blah, all that kind of shit, kind of a dick. He was so smiley, like on stage and shit. Like he always had that really, he looked like he was having a ball, which I admire as a performer. But I what really got me, see what I did there?
No.
I said, what really got me?
Oh,
I guess if I have to explain it, it's not as funny. So anyhow.
Not everything you
that
say.
It was a thing about how Randy Rhoads and he started doing kind of that, those, I guess you call it like tap harmonics or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of from like if you ever heard Eruption or whatever. It's kind of that, you know, it kind of makes it sound more like a, I don't know, I'm not going to make the noise with my mouth. But anyway, how it was kind of like who came up with it. And I thought Eddie would make, a lot of guitar players are real humble where they're like when they ask Eric Clapton, what's it like to be the best guitar player ever? And he goes, oh, I don't know, you'll have to ask. And then it's whoever's hot at the time, usually, right? Right? And in this case, Eddie's like who came up with it, you or him? He goes, oh, I did. You know, he was real
adamant,
kind of a
it,
dick
yeah.
about it. And it's like, dude, the guy just died. I mean, come on, can't you, you know, sort of the guy a bone. But anyhow, he just, you know, whatever. But it's like an actor. I don't give a fuck what you're like off the screen. I just want to know your work.
Right.
And Eddie Van Halen's work was par excellent and fantastic, but they all had to put up with David Lee Roth, and that's just amazing that they did that.
Ah, shoot, he's coming on next week.
I would love to have David Lee Roth on the podcast with Joey Browner to protect me. Just how in the world did Van Halen put out such great studio albums, and then when they were live, it was just like, it was like letting a kid out of a fucking all-you-can-drink Mountain Dew bar. It was awful on stage. Terrible live performer.
Yeah, but that's with a lot of bands. When you're listening to them, you hear the studio versions.
I guess.
Sometimes.
I'm sure that the other musicians kept it, like, real enough. But maybe they only fucking put online the dud performances. But he just looked like he was so, like, look at me. If I suck, keep looking at me.
In your mind, you don't like David Lee Roth as a performer.
Do I have
performer confirmation
bias? That's
yes,
a thing,
you
know.
Do.
I do. David Lee, come on, the podcast. I'll apologize in person, but only in person.
I think his first solo album is phenomenal.
Yankee Rose?
Yeah.
What was on that? Yankee Rose was on that.
What's the other one on the mountaintop with the video where he's free climbing?
Yankee Rose, I think.
No, I thought...
Wasn't Just a Gigolo on that, too?
I don't think
that
so.
That was
a
song. And that goes back to my thing, where David Lee Roth is more comfortable doing, like, show tune-like songs. Just a Gigolo, and everybody knows.
That was on a second one with California Girls and Just a Gigolo.
True. Both phenomenal songs.
Yeah.
I'm going to look up
Who did the first time?
Oh, can you see the thing?
Yeah.
Which one?
California Girls.
The Beach Boys.
There you go. It kind of all ties in
together.
Somebody
else also did, not Yankee Rose. What was the one you said? Just a Gigolo. That's an old song.
Yeah, that's an old.
Like really old. Ice Cream Man, very old song. Very, very old song.
That's a blues. But right, I think the Just a Gigolo was like 1940s or something type.
Yeah, it's a living proof that it's such a good song, even David Lee Roth couldn't fuck it up, but...
No, Quit picking on poor David.
I think his dressing of it was good. We're talking about sibling bands. And he was in a band with brothers in it, even though he wasn't one of the brothers. I wonder if he has brothers and sisters. I'll bet he is an only child.
You know, I don't know.
That's what do you say? Over or under on siblings, I will say, is one. You want to go over or under it?
Well, I have to go over.
Let's make this let's make it a betting. Well, you get first pick. So he either has one or zero, or...
I would say one.
Two.
Just the way his attitude is. I would agree with that.
You say he has one other sibling.
No, I would say he has...
No siblings.
Correct.
All right, well, here we go. We'll figure out a way to make money on this thing. Get your bets in now. It'll be like that episode of MASH where they knew the outcomes of the games and they kept getting Frank to bet. How do you guys know?
Historical horse racing. How does that work?
I'm great at it. I'm so close every time. I just don't get it.
They're starting to try to do that at Canterbury.
Is that what that means?
Yeah, an arcade game.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I was trying to figure out what all the fuss is about. People are pissed about it.
Yeah, but it's just... would people, if they did their homework, know who won the race in historical... Because it's actual races that have already run.
Oh, for fuck's sakes. If you got a goddamn phone, you can figure that out.
I don't know how it works, but...
Aqueduct, the 7th at Aqueduct on August the 5th of 1938.
Oh, I thought we were talking about Jethro Tull.
That's Aqualung.
Oh.
Hey, Aqueduct. That's outstanding. I'm going to let you break the news.
Well, looks like we're going to have to wrap this up because Jim is losing interest.
No! Again. Oh, man. Hey, but come back next week and we'll have one even worse than this one. Statistically, historically, the second episode of the night is either better or worse. But we'll let you know about David Lee Roth's sibling situation in case you don't have, I don't know, a phone or an access to a good library or even a medium library.
And we do have a Facebook page, The Ascertainers.
Yep.
And sure we have an email account at theascertainers@gmail.com. Write us a note. Tell us how much you love me and hate Jim. It'd be great to hear from you. Pat, if you can figure it out, you can send one also.
Pat already sent us one. Pat's our number one fan. Charlie has also sent us an email. Charlie, we need to hear from you, pal.
And so has Alex. Alex, I know you listen still, so...
Alex, yes, we haven't heard from him in forever.
I know it.
We're going to get Alex D on with Paul W. And, yeah, it's all good. So, anyway, sorry about this episode. A lot of bright things in the future, but not this one or the very next one. So,
goodbye, bye. Everyone.